Chapter 9.
It took a while to figure out how we were going to deal with the Hork-Bajir. In the end, we decided I'd go ahead with Axe. The others would morph and stay close enough to hear what was happening. The problem was, we were afraid to be honest with the Hork-Bajir. It could all still be some kind of trap. We couldn't let anyone know who we really were. Or what we really were. See, the Yurks know that there is someone out here messing with them. They know they're being attacked by someone using animal morphs. Since only the Andalites have the power to morph, the Yurks assume we must all be Andalites. They figure we must be a group of Andalite guerrillas. We want them to think that. We sure don't want them realizing that the Animorphs are mostly a bunch of human kids. If they ever found out where Jake and Cassie and Rachel and Marco live, well, that would be the end of us. The cave where Rachel and I left the Hork-Bajir was small for a creature of his size. It was hidden by brush and fallen branches. It went in about 20 feet, but was only about 5 feet tall. I landed on a fallen branch outside the cave entrance. I waited till everyone was in position. Then I said, "Hey in there, Hork-Bajir. It's me, the talking bird. I'm coming in. With a friend." It's hard for a bird to push through bushes and thorns, so Axe stepped forward, almost dainty on his four hooves. He pushed the tangle aside with his weak arms. He stuck his head inside the dark cave. The reaction was immediate.
"Rethren! Andalite!"
A bladed arm slashed, missing Axe's head by inches. Axe jerked back and cocked his tail to strike.
"No!"
I yelled. "Listen in there, you weed-whacker-looking jerk! Calm down! An Axeman, take it easy!" The bladed arm withdrew slowly, and Axe relaxed his tail. It took a few seconds to slow my heart down. When a bird is startled, it wants to fly. Natural instinct. I had to fight to control it and stay put.
"What's going on?"
Cassie asked. I looked up at the sky. Rachel and Cassie were up there in bird morph, Rachel as her bald eagle self, and Cassie as an owl. The sun was just setting. And when darkness fell, an owl would be a lot more useful than an eagle. The two of them were flying cover, making sure we weren't disturbed.
"Oh, nothing much," I said. "We're all just saying hello. By the way, is everything clear up there, Cassie? Rachel?"
"Yep, everything is clear,"
Rachel called down. I took a couple of deep breaths and tried to steady my nerves. Neither Axe nor I wanted to go into that cave anymore. You just can't be careless when you're dealing with Hork-Bajir. One fast move, and they can leave you wondering why your head is rolling across the grass.
"Hork-Bajir, come on out," I said firmly.
Slowly, the big creature crawled out. He stood erect, blinking in the dim evening light.
"Not Hork-Bajir," he said. "Jaime. My name. Jaime."
"He's kidding, right?" Jake said in my head. "His name is Jeremy?" I glanced up to see a big, round, white and orange face. A face with deep, intelligent eyes and yellowish teeth about 4 inches long. It was Jake in his tiger morph. He was above the cave opening on an outcropping of rock. If the Hork-Bajir had made a wrong move, Jake would have been all over him. "You better talk to our boy Jarahimi here," I said to Axe. I figured Axe would know more about talking to other aliens than me. Axe held his hands open in a gesture of peace. He lowered his tail still further. I could see he really didn't want to do that. The air between the Andalite and the Hork-Bajir seemed to crackle with tension.
"My name is Axe-Simile," Axe said.
"You are Ruthren, Andalite?"
"Yes."
"You kill me?"
"No, I won't kill you," Axe said.
"Ruthren kill Hork-Bajir,"
the Hork-Bajir named Jarahemi said.
"Hork-Bajir kill Ruthren."
"This is going really well," Marco said dryly. Then he sang new words for that Barney song.
"I kill you, you kill me, we're an alien family."
I saw Marco settling in behind a stand of trees off to the left. He looked like a very large, very hairy man. A gorilla, actually. We had decided to have plenty of muscle ready, just in case the Hork-Bajir turned out to be trouble. Andalites tried to save the Hork-Bajir from the Yerks, Axe said, sounding a little defensive. The Hork-Bajir stared at Axe's face.
You Darkap, you fail.
Yes, we failed. But I'm here now, and I don't kill Hork-Bajir, unless they are tools of the Yerks. The Hork-Bajir made a sort of forward jerk with its head and a raspy little sound in its throat. It sounded like a derisive laugh. But who knows? I had no idea what a Hork-Bajir laugh should sound like, or even if they laughed at all. Whap! The Hork-Bajir slapped his chest with his left hand. It startled me enough that I was halfway airborne before I got a grip. The Hork-Bajir threw out his arm and said,
Jarhemi escaped the Yerks. Jarhemi free. Jarhemi has his own head.
He pressed both hands gently against his snake-like head.
How do we know you are free? How do we know you have your own head?
Axe asked him coldly. The Hork-Bajir looked puzzled. Then, to my complete and total shock, he made a quick movement of his arm. It was faster than a human eye could have seen. But I saw it. I saw the wrist blade slice right into his own head. He sliced right into his own head.
No!
I yelled in horror.
Yeah!
Jake yelped. There was a gash 6 inches deep in the Hork-Bajir's head. He reached up with his clawed hands and pulled the gash open. He pulled his own head open. And it's not like it didn't hurt him. I could see the pain on his face. Blood, or something, oozed in shades of deep red and deeper blue-green. He held the gash open, and we stared, Axe and me, right into the Hork-Bajir's brain. I guess Jake and Marco could see it pretty clearly, too.
Oh, man, Marco moaned. Can I just say, yuck?
Jarhemi pressed the two sides of the gash together. He held the cut for a few seconds, and with amazing speed, the bleeding coagulated. A long scab began to form over the gash. That's when I started breathing again. I had stopped. Then I started my heart up. I swear it had stopped, too.
Did you see a Yerk in there in his head?
I asked Axe shakily.
No, Axe said, just as shaken as I was. No Yerk.
Did that scare the pee out of you, Axeman? Or doesn't that kind of thing bother you Andalites?
I am as peeless as you, Tobias, my friend.
That wasn't necessary, I told Jarhemi.
His face, insofar as he had a face, was still scrunched up in pain. He was breathing hard and sweating the same blue-green fluid I'd seen inside his head.
Necessary,
he grunted through his pain.
Jarhemi is strong, but Jarhemi needs help.
Help to do what?
Axe asked him gently. The Hork-Bajir stared at Axe, then shifted his gaze to me.
Flying animals saw my Kalashi. Jarhemi must find her. Jarhemi.
He struggled to come up with a word. Then he made a gesture with his hands, as if someone were tearing something out of him, as if someone were removing his heart. There was no question what it meant. Even across the huge divide between our species, I could recognize that emotion.
You love her, I said.
Jarhemi loves,
the Hork-Bajir said.
Kalashi, Jarhemi free. Want free.
Axe swiveled his stalk eyes back toward me.
I think I believe him.
Yeah, me too, Axe. Hey, you guys down there?
Cassie called down from above.
We have company coming.